This is an ABC podcast.
This is Baby Talk Podcast with Penny Johnston.
These are unprecedented times we're living in. Most of us have been pretty floored by what's been happening around us and around the world with COVID-19. For the first time, we're being asked to stay away from other people to keep ourselves and our community safe. If ever there was a time to be overwhelmed, as a parent, this might be it. But my next guest may have some clues to help us survive and possibly even thrive in this crisis.
And I always take it back to, what are the things that I have control over? If I could work on those and basically focus my energy on that, because I find I start to feel overwhelmed if I start to worry too much about the things that I can't control.
Planning might just get us through this. Planning will help us keep our schedules of working at home on track, meals on the table, and it might stop us from curling up in the bed and never wanting to get up, although that may be a reasonable option for the odd occasion. Nicole Avery is a mother of five, and this gets her credibility way over mine as a parent. For years, she's been writing a terrific blog that is a ray of sunshine for overwhelmed parents. It's called Planning with Kids. Nicole Avery joins us as our special guest on Baby Talk. And Nicole, you've got this crazy nickname, the Planning Queen. Can you tell us how you got that nickname?
Sure. I've been writing online now for sort of, I think it's over 12 years now, and it's all to do with planning with kids and planning with family. And I sort of, when I first started writing, I sort of, in the back in that day, I was very frightened about putting myself online. So I actually had a pseudonym, which was Planning Queen. I went by that for quite a long time, but it's sort of something that even sticks even in reality, because I love a spreadsheet. I love finding stuff that is, you know, all over the place and bring it into a neat process or a neat plan or a spreadsheet. And I can sort of feel like I'm managing the elements of life that I can manage.
Today, it would seem that this skill is going to be very, very useful. I read a really interesting quote from a New York Times staff editor in their parenting section this week, and she said, "Planning soothes me. I really did think I'd plan for everything, but there was no way to plan for this pandemic." Now, how are you coping with what's going on at the moment?
Yeah, see, it's funny, because often you think if people are planners that something like this sort of throws them out of control. And it's been super interesting, because I've already had to adapt, like things like menu planning, for example, because of the scarcity of supplies in the supermarket. And to me, I guess because the sort of personality that I am, I sort of see it, okay, well, this is the challenge, this is this now. And I always take it back to, what are the things that I have control over? If I could work on those and basically focus my energy on that, because I find I start to feel overwhelmed if I start to worry too much about the things that I can't control. It's like, for example, if I take it back to baby days, if I worried about when and when the baby was and wasn't going to sleep, and if I couldn't do much about that, I could only action the things I could do when the baby was asleep and have myself sorted so I could kick off and go and cook the dinner for that possible 15 minutes the baby might sleep in the afternoon and get that sorted. I'm sort of taking that strategy now. Like, babies are very unpredictable. This part of my life now is quite unpredictable. You know, can we go out? You know, all the kids are home. How is the shops going? What can I buy? What can I not buy? So I'm really going, plan for what I can, worry about what I can, and then sort of, I guess, put that other bit to the side and not spend too much energy on that.
And that might translate for a lot of people that have got big worries about whether their business is going to survive or their job is going to survive, and compared to smaller worries like, we've got enough toilet paper for 1 week.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because even myself working online, I do some online coaching, and I've had clients that have had to pull out because they've been affected by that. So I do have that online pressure. But, you know, at the end of the day, I can't control whether people can afford to pay for me now or not. And I have to work on dedicating my time and marketing myself to the clients who can, and really understanding and supporting those who can't.
There is a lot that we can control, because at the moment, we've got our families with us, and if everybody does the right thing, we can potentially get through this.
Absolutely. So we're currently, everyone is home. We've got three teenagers, and they're currently, their casual work. They are still going to work a couple of days a week. So, but most of the time we are here in the house with seven people trying. One's still doing online learning until Friday. Their school is still going, doing online learning. So that has been a massive adjustment, especially when I'm used to sort of having the house trust myself to work during the day. So that's really required some adaptations in terms of, you know, I guess courtesy and just resetting some ground rules, because this is new to everyone and you can't, I guess, expect kids to be able to automatically assume what is courtesy behaviour and polite behaviour, because this is all, it's very different for them as well.
There have been some really funny memes floating around that I think teachers should be paid $1 billion a week now. And I've only got one child at home, so, you know, I consider myself fortunate. But even he seems to take up a mega amount of room in my house and my head during the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one of the things that I've sort of done is, because the younger two are probably less self-sufficient, I mean, they're pretty good. They're quite independent. But they also, like, because there's the uncertainty of how long this is going on for, I've sort of taken this week not necessarily a school holiday. So they've sort of got roughly, like, it's a very broad schedule from sort of 9 to 4. And for the one who's in year six in particular, he gets up and he likes to look at that. He likes to know what it's doing. And it's very simple. It's like from 9 to 10, it's reading. And then from 10 to 11, he's doing some online stuff. Then from 11 to 11:30, it's outside, go have something to eat and play. It's giving him a little bit of structure, because we're going to go into quite a long period of just extended freedom, and that's actually giving some rhythm to the house, because often what you find is that the issues can arise when there's no rhythm. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't mean that if he's not up at the dot of nine doing, you know, having a read, that I'm on his back, but it's just giving a rhythm and a flow to the day and a bit of purpose, because he's a little bit lost without all of that at the moment, because he sort of was really disappointed in some ways when school finished, because he's a very social kid. And already today he said to me, can I try and organise that with his some of his mates, with his mums, that they all can be online together at the same time so they can actually have a chat, because he's missing that social element.
The thing that I'm imagining at the moment is those early days with a small baby. Can you imagine what it would be like to be under that quarantine with really little children who are so super dependent on you? That must be really tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I can remember, even myself, just when I was with my youngest ones, one of the things that I found that sort of kept me really sane was having almost like a bit of a routine to go to, because I think it's the open-endedness that, and the days, what is it, that, you know, the days seem long but the years are short, that yeah. I think this is very much a time where that will be very much how you're feeling, if you're feeling particularly housebound. Like, you know, just setting yourself those little small things throughout the day, that you still get up, make the bed, and then you've got, okay, so that, you know, the first part of the morning, it may be that if you're an early riser, that you get up when there's not many people around and go for a quick walk to get yourself out of the house at a particularly safe time for you and Bubs, and get back in so that you actually have still got some structure and some sort of resemblance, you know. And in terms of trying to find ways to make that day not seem so, especially if you're already on maternity leave, for example, so you don't actually have work that you're trying to do, the days can seem really long. And so there's a few things, like I used to do, I was always an avid reader. So I'd, you know, if you haven't got yourself some books already, it's sort of a good time to look at some of those online things like Audible. And I know Audible, for example, if you've got younger little toddlers and stuff, they're doing free access, I think, to kids' books, which is also a really useful thing if you don't want them necessarily watching something all the time. Audible could be a good thing. But even for yourself, there's so many online courses and things that you can look at. If there's ever been an area of your life, I think, that you want to skill up on, because sometimes I think there's only so much Netflix anyone can actually watch. You sort of need that stimulation. You need something that's going to engage. If you're not going to be able to get that from going out to your mum's group, which was always a real lifeline for me, like that, I used to look forward to that Friday morning where I was going to go and see all those mums.
Yes.
And the other thing, you know, there is obviously Skype, which we're talking across. Even when I did notice some girlfriends that recently it was someone's birthday and they couldn't all catch up in person. So they literally like had a morning tea via Skype. And I think that's the sort of thing we're going to have to start to do to keep that social interaction going, because you can feel already really isolated as a mum with little ones at home, especially if you're locked into sleep times and stuff, you know. So if you can get sleep times together with your kids and then jump online and have a chat in your mum's group, I think that could be a really nice way of connecting and talking about how you're getting through your day without having even going to the shops. And, you know, that sort of stuff seems like a highlight now, which is something not everyone used to think about.
I know. Let me escape to the supermarket, please.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was interesting. I put a post on the Facebook page. An American astronaut did a little video and he said, come on, people, you know, we can do this much like we do in space. I mean, in space as astronauts, we're in a confined space, we can't go to the shops, but we still manage to use the time to do difficult things and interesting things and improve our learning. So that's a really good hint. And hopefully most of our houses are bigger than the International Space Station. So we have got gravity.
Absolutely.
And flushing toilets.
Yes. And like, I think that's a thing, and that I'm a real goal setter. And I think one of the things you can do when we've got these open ended times is like even set yourself like a goal for the week. Like I bet a whole lot of us there have got those hard drives full of photos that we've never done anything to. Make your goal this week that you're going to do the baby's first year of their life or their first 6 months, you know, something like that. Just even because the sense of achievement I think that we get from like ticking things off a list, you know, it's been studied that we get that sort of endorphin, you know, dopamine hit from doing that checklist thing. It really can help you keep motivated and sort of not just sort of fall into heat and think, well, there's nothing really, what am I doing? You know, small goals. It may even be that if you've got some wool, you do some knitting, you sit there and, you know, learn to knit. There's so many fantastic, I guess we are really lucky now. There's so many fantastic free tutorials, that sort of stuff online that you can sort of access. And it's even, I guess, something I've referred to on my blog before is looking at things moving from a chore to a choice, because often family life, you often feel overwhelmed, like I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do this, I have to do that. Now it's like, well, I can't do this, I can't do that. If you can sort of move your mindset from more of like I'm having to do this to I'm choosing to do this, so I often look like I'm choosing, you know, mealtime can be quite an unappreciated time with a whole bunch of critical teenage eaters. It's like, well, I'm choosing to feed them nutritious food. So I see it as a choice. And it's amazing how freeing just that move from like a chore to a choice actually makes the task seem. So I don't seem to feel so weighed down by it. So sometimes we even have to do those little mind tricks in our head about moving things from being embedded upon us to working within the freedom that we have within that small little box we might be working within.
And it's a really interesting mind shift too, isn't it? I mean, if you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm so lucky because at least I've got a fridge full of food, whereas maybe my grandmother during the war didn't have that, and I've got Netflix and the astronauts, I bet they don't have those, and we've got iView and ABC for kids to keep everybody a little bit busy.
Yeah, we certainly have a lot of resources at our hands. I think I did see that. I think in Europe they're moving things down to standard definition and stuff, because I guess a key problem is probably the bandwidth and that sort of stuff, but that's a really minor thing that we've got to deal with.
Well, exactly, although I do not know how our NBN's going to cope with
it. Oh, I know.
Baby Talk is available as a weekly podcast. Find it on the ABC website, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the ABC Listen app.
Most of us parent with someone else, and
yes.
Very often someone else, well, the other half, might consider that their working from home is more important and more deserving of the room on their own and not having to answer children's questions. I mean, have you got any hints for navigating that landscape?
Yeah. And it's really interesting because we probably have already had that at our house start sort of on Monday, and I'm very much used to home, and I'm sort of being a bit territorial because this is where I would do and what I would do.
Yeah.
But we literally just sort of had a chat, and it's like, I think that's the best thing you can do up front is you can't assume the other person, you can't assume what anyone else is going to do. And I think this sort of goes through all parenting dilemmas. Like often there is a bit of a conflict point when people aren't actually communicating and people are making assumptions about what the other one does. So my best advice is just to work out some rules. So we've already worked out with my husband, so he normally cooks once a week on the weekend, but now that he's going to be home just as much as I am, he's going to be cooking one meal in the week as well, so that gives me that bit of a chance to work that longer. We've also decided that if anyone's going to have a call that's going to go for over 15 minutes, because we're sort of working within a confined space, that like I'm taking this currently in my bedroom, so if you're having a longer call where you're going to be speaking at a volume, that you need to go and take it off. We don't want to really work in our bedroom. We're really trying to keep our bedroom as a non-work space.
Oh, sorry.
No, not at all. But this is just the reality of this current situation. Like our kids share bedrooms, and we have those a main area, two separate areas, like a dining room and lounge room. But the reality is that we are confined for space. So we've had to negotiate how does that work, because it's really hard to get everyone to be quiet. So, you know, even just before I took this call, while I'm away and secluded, there is kids that will often run outside and scream and shout and all that sort of stuff when they're outside. It's like, well, I'm going to be in here if you can just hold off for 30 minutes. But the main thing, I think, has been communication. So he sort of said to me what his expectation about his hours are, and I'm sort of, you know, yep, that's fine. And then it's going to be if anyone wants to work anything different around that. It's just the common courtesy that we would normally do if he was going to, say, work later. At work, I normally would speak to him home somewhere between 6:30 and 7. If he's going to be working later than that, he just needs to give me the heads up in the day that that's where it's going to be, like he ordinarily would, because you can sort of fall into the trap that because you're at home, people are seeing you, you're not communicating as much in some ways. So if I've got a deadline, likewise, sometimes I'll you know, message him at work and say, hey, can you come home a bit earlier? I've got this deadline. I need you to help out at home. I still need to do that. So even though we're closer together, I literally sent him an appointment in the calendar saying, I need you home. I need you sort of on duty at this time I've got something I want to be able to dedicate my time to. So in some ways, you still need to keep up those online communications. If you scheduled appointments in and stuff with each other, still work along and do that, because otherwise it's really easy for a bit of chaos to creep in.
Yeah. Like that poor guy that was reporting from the BBC when the toddler wanders in the background.
I think everyone's having a lot more sympathy for him now.
Absolutely, and his poor wife. Well, I'm wondering what sort of feedback you're getting from your dedicated followers. Are they feeding back that their planning is going okay? Or is it only the doomsday preppers that really could have survived without a bit of panic at this time?
I think the one thing that's hit people the most is working from home with kids has been the feedback I've got. And I did a post on my blog last week about tips for doing it from kids which are younger and kids which are older and how I manage it. And I think that's the thing that's thrown people into, I guess, the biggest spin, because they're used to having, and it's been, I guess it's twofold. They've been used to being going to work to do their work, but they've also been used to having that break from the kids. And
it's, I know, not that sounds, we don't love them.
No, it's not at all. So if you're gone from being away from your kids from 9 to 5, 5 days a week, and that is gone, that's actually quite a big adjustment for everybody. And it's, you know, some tips on some good meditations for patients have been asked for, and just generally how do you create space within that environment. And then the other thing too is like, well, how do you find individual time for kids? Because you may have had individual time with kids because you're running one off to netball, then you're taking one to footy. How now can you find individual space for kids and having conversation with kids one-on-one when pretty much everyone's home? So I think that the people have been, I think the other thing that the food thing has thrown people a bit, because people are often used to assuming, and a lot of people have sort of just gone sort of week by week, or, you know, a bi-weekly shop. I've had a lot of people ask me, how do you shop on a weekly basis? Because it's not been something that they do. So I think that's been another big thing as well. So that's why I put the post up today about sort of how to have a bit of a plan when you go shopping. Because when you shop now and you go and things there aren't that you wanted to be there, it can be like, I don't know what to buy now because the things I want aren't there. How else do I go about it?
As of end of last week, I had everything that I really needed if we really couldn't leave the house. I mean, not for 6 months, but definitely for 2 weeks. But it's really hard, even though I know my fridge and freezer are crammed and I've got a few extra cans on the bench. It's really hard not to want to go and grab something that you think you might need at the supermarket, even if you really don't.
Oh, agreed. Like, I think scarcity mindset is sort of that scarcity feeling is quite contagious, because I do keep a well-stocked pantry pretty much all of the time. It's just sort of, with so many mouths to feed, it's just always good to have it full so no one can complain to me. Yeah. But I have had to stop myself at the supermarket a couple of times and put some things back going, no, I actually don't need that. Leave that there for someone else. Because when you see empty shelves, it's really triggering. It's really triggering to go, I have a family to feed. They're relying on me. And so, it's about having to stop and check yourself. And so I find if I go with a list and I'm getting what I need, I feel better about that. I feel more comfortable. I know I've got the meals for the week. I know we're going to be fine. I don't need to panic about that. And I think already you're starting to see some more stuff come in the shelves. I think people probably have, you know, taken that step back now and have got a few supplies, so everyone's feeling a little bit better. And so I think if we all can sort of just hold off for a bit from buying that, I think it'll give the supermarkets time to restock, and then we can all feel a little bit more comfortable about what's happening in the supermarkets.
Yeah, I still don't get why there's no toilet paper. That
I don't
astounds
think anyone's
me.
Ever going to be able to explain that.
And then the other thing is an acquaintance had all these trays of tins of lentils, and I'm thinking there are no circumstances in which your teenagers are going to eat that. I mean, perhaps if they are starving to death, maybe, but I'm sure loading up on stuff like that just sort of seems a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing too, people are buying, you just only buy what you're actually going to eat, because
if you
just didn't, no point.
If you didn't like lentils before, nothing's going to miraculously change.
Exactly. I stopped eating meat about a year ago, and I've been trying to bring the family on board with a few more vegetarian meals. And I can tell you my teenagers have balked at chickpeas just and not fans. So I've got chickpeas for me, but that's all. Like, you know, I went to our local butcher, and it was interesting because they are limiting what you can buy, and I completely respect that because everyone needs to get some.
Yeah.
But when you've got a family of seven and you can only buy 10 hamburgers, it's like, okay, that's just really not adding up the maths for enough food for me, my family. So how am I going to work that one out? So we all had to ration. You only had like one and a bit each, you know. So that's, you know, it's an interesting time. But I think you're right. I think you have to think about what are you actually going to eat. Don't buy for the sake of buying, because you're going to end up with, you know, because this will pass. And, you know, the National Farmers Federation, it came out, I saw his statement saying that we've got food for like 75 million and we've got 25 million. We're going to be okay. There's some supply chain issues going on, but, you know, bear it out. People will end up with a lot of food, and that food will go to waste. And that's the real shame if food goes to waste, especially if there's others out there. And I know it's harder and harder for the homeless to get food. So if we can only buy things that we will eat, I think that helps everybody too.
You're listening to Penny on Baby Talk.
Find Baby Talk wherever you get your podcasts.
Being a mum of five does take things up to an extra degree of difficulty, but are there some positives in that as well? Is it a bit of a critical mass of children that they play with each other?
Oh, look, it's actually been, so what are we, you know, everyone's really been home probably since the weekend. The way ours is, we actually had two secondary kids home all of last week. And just by evolution of nothing that I've crafted, the last three nights we've played cards after dinner, which we only are typically do on like summer holidays. So that's actually just been lovely, because the older kids who are very social can't be going out and being social. They're sort of going out to work. So that's been really, really nice. And it has been lovely to see the different age gaps for children, because we've got like 10 years between our five. So it's been really lovely to see sort of the oldest and the youngest out just kicking the soccer ball yesterday, which is opportunities that wouldn't have, because the youngest one, the uni student, he tends to work, is at uni, and then he goes to his casual job. So those two don't normally have the opportunity to be doing that. So I am really treasuring those small moments, the opportunities that it's bringing, because we actually are all just about a bit more. It's lovely at this stage. I mean, you know, 6 months down the track, will it wear thin? Who knows? But certainly now it's been actually, there's been some really lovely moments in it. So I'm trying to focus on those. And we did sort of have a bit of a chat with all the kids sort of individually, and then at dinner one night as well, in that this time does require all of us just to be more courteous and more polite and more considerate. And I think it's, you know, we have to role model that behaviour as well. Like, I was walking past the kitchen, and often the kids have this habit of putting all the dishes right next to the dishwasher and not in the dishwasher. And I don't know why that is. It's like this massive phenomenon that I think happens in most families. And I literally called from one room to the other, which is one of the things we just actually recently talked about that we weren't going to do. And I got called out by one of the kids, which was great for them to call me out and say, "Mum, we're not supposed to do that. You've just shouted from one room to the other." And I went, "Good call. I'm really sorry. I will make sure that I don't do that." And then I walked around and I went and saw everyone and said, "Could you go put your stuff in the dishwasher, please?" But it was really nice for me to actually remind myself that I have to role model the behaviour that I want to see in the kids. So if I don't want them calling from one room to the other to each other, because there's enough of them that gets really rowdy quite quickly, I've got to role model the right one. And it was really great. It was actually my daughter who picked me up and said, "Mum, you shout it from room to room." So it's nice to set up some rules about how you want to communicate, and to give the kids permission to call you out if you break those rules too.
Oh, good luck with everything, Nicole. Thank you so much.
That's a pleasure. It was lovely to chat to you, and I hope all goes well for your family during this time too, Penny.
Nicole Avery, with brilliant advice to stop us all from being overwhelmed during this really unusual and tricky time. I really hope you enjoyed listening to Nicole's advice, and all those little videos I spoke about are on the Baby Talk Facebook page. It's called Baby Talk with Penny, but Baby Talk should find us online. If you think this podcast has information that you or a friend could use, there's a little share button which lets you share the link for the podcast to a friend or a family member. You can send it via email or as a text message on your phone. I really hope everything's going okay for you and your family this week. I'm Penny Johnston, and I'll see you next time on Baby Talk.
ABC Baby Talk is a weekly podcast on ABC Digital Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the ABC Listen app. Like us on Facebook to find out as soon as a new episode is ready. Just search for ABC Baby Talk.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.